I call to order the monthly Water Otter Rock Water District Board meeting on 10/14/2025 at 6:02 p.m. Lisa, here. Eileen?
Here.
Kelly?
Here.
Rod?
Here.
Teresa?
She's on mute.
I'm here. I'm just making a minor adjustment here.
Hey. All board members are present, and we have Terry and Pat Anderson and the Mullins as public in attendance. Did anyone have any questions about the board minutes for the board meeting on 9/9/25 and the board summaries for the emergency meeting on 10/1 and the special business meeting on 10/6?
No, they were very thorough as always.
Can I get a motion to accept the minutes and the summaries?
A motion to approve all the minutes and the summaries.
I second.
Lisa, yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
You're on mute.
I know it might, it's doing a weird thing, but
there you go.
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the Curtis and Highland Water report.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Curtis.
As I say, I can go through the report. A couple of things that are quick and easy. The rain have come back, so we are seeing our spring overflow start to increase again, which is very nice. I've seen that Cody is continuing to take the outflow rates. Rod, are you continuing to get those?
I didn't get the last one.
You didn't get the last one? Okay. I can ask Cody to forward that through. But the numbers are picking up. It seems like the drought is over. Looking at the weather next week, it's supposed to be pretty wet in the valley. I imagine it's similar at the coast. If you want us to continue taking those, I'm happy to do so. Otherwise, with the drought being over, I think we're more or less out of the weeds.
I don't have a need unless you do, Lisa.
No.
Okay. I'll let Cody stop taking those then, and we'll get you the last one, and we'll call it a day.
Sounds good.
The other item that's relatively large on there is the airlock issues that I know we covered in the emergency meeting. What was it, 2 weeks ago? And I wasn't sure if there was still a plan to eventually take care of that fire hydrant in the long term, or if we were putting that off to when the whole system is rebuilt.
So at this time, I think we're going to put it off until when the system's rebuilt. The fear here is that we'll try and shut off or isolate the hydrant and end up breaking another valve.
Yeah, that'd be my fear too.
So,
just
to not to belabor it, but I spoke with the Depot Bay Fire Chief and let him know that that one is out of operation. And so he noted that as well.
Perfect. Yeah, say the hydrants, I know they have water. They don't have a lot of pressure. So it wouldn't surprise me if the fire department intentionally got water elsewhere for a possible fire in Otter Rock. But that can be dealt with a different time. In the meantime, I wanted to bring up, there's been a couple of items noted. One is the valve that broke at the intersection of 3rd and Otter Crest. The valve itself is not unusually deep. There would be some traffic control involved, but if we are looking to in the future try and isolate down lines without having that valve available, almost any work that would be done on either 3rd or on 1st Street would require an entire system shutdown just because we don't have the valving to isolate it properly. So it's great if the thought process is we're not going to plan work, but if an emergency pops up, just one more item to the risk factor that we're getting closer and closer to a full system shutdown for either emergency repair or item like it.
So wouldn't we have to shut the system down to make the repair?
Yep.
So, but that, so we risk that at that point breaking that other valve as well, right?
Or we replace them both at the same time. So
I thought that the one at the tank was leaking, the main shutoff.
I don't know if it's leaking. So the information I got, standard when you are working on main lines, are, we call them MJs, they stand for mechanical joints. And it's a way of attaching to the main line that is restrained, it has teeth, and it often uses a rubber gasket. And these joints are far superior to, in you know, 30 to 50 years ago, we would use push together fittings or something that was not restrained, glue joints, anything like that. And as the ground shifts, we'd run into several issues. And so these fittings were a new technology as of like, you know, 50 years ago. I don't want to make it sound like something that just came out, but it's been the industry standard ever since. I found out pretty late in the day, when we were helping the contractor BRX put in the hydrant on Ellie, that they were trying to glue into the water main. And a lot of pieces start to click for why they needed the water to be 100% off, and because the glue won't dry if it's even wet inside of the pipe, and it's also going to take several hours for that glue to dry versus an MJ fitting, which as soon as you're done tightening the bolts, it's watertight and restrained. So some of those pieces started to make sense. I don't know if the valve itself was actually leaking or if it was just a very slow drain for all of the water to leave the pipe. For the water to leave, air has to be introduced. There wasn't really anywhere for the air to be readily introduced. As far as we can tell, the system's pretty airtight. So almost inadvertently, by shutting off the water and opening up the hydrants and allowing air in, we were allowing the water to leave the lines at the same time. And even just having a slow half gallon a minute run through the line, you can't glue it. It just won't let you. Yeah. All that to say, I don't know if the upper valve is leaking or if it just took that long to drain the pipe.
And is that AC pipe that valve is connected with?
I believe so. So
is there a potential that even if we got in there and we had to replace the main valve, we'd end up having to cut back the pipe because it's of its age and its inability to hold the clamps?
It's possible, but unlikely. AC pipe is not something that I would install for a number of reasons. But being fragile with age isn't one of its downsides. So it has issues where it will pit. It has issues where the outside diameter won't be consistent, so it can be hard to get fittings on. You can't restrain to it is another very large issue. It takes very unique fittings to adapt to it. But typically, once it's in the ground, it's a pretty solid pipe. I would be surprised if the AC pipe started to give way just because of its age.
Okay, so what is your question?
Do we want to make plans to replace the valve on Autocrest Loop at 3rd Street that is broken, or are we just wrapping that into the full mainline repair coming down the pikeway?
Lisa, do you have an opinion?
I don't want to touch any of the system anymore unless it's absolutely necessary. It's just going to break. We're just fragile, and it's just going to, somewhere down the line, it's going to break. If it doesn't break on 3rd, it's going to break somewhere downstream, and we can't afford it. We just can't. So no, I vote for leaving it until we do this stuff.
Okay.
I have a question. Anticipate the construction phase will start and be completed for the main lines and, you know, for the Oregon business loan. Those aren't the mains. Those are the...
Those are the mains.
Okay, so how... No, the mains are with the FEMA loan. But when will that start, do we think? So how many years are we looking at keeping these valves, you know, non-functional?
All goes as planned, Kelly.
What?
If all goes as we hope it will go, yeah, we'll have a new system by the end of 2026.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
Shocking, isn't it?
That's moving.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, that's if we can find a contractor. So I think there's a lot of kind
there
of.
There are a lot of variables. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It all goes without a hitch.
Right, right. I think it's important to keep in mind that if this valve is broken, then we do have an emergency situation where we need to shut things down, and that valve is important to shut things down. Replacing it, I don't think is an absolute no. I think we need to give it a little bit of thought, you guys. Obviously, cost is a question. Curtis, I know you probably don't have a ballpark figure to replace this valve, or do you?
Ballpark, I'd go somewhere between 10 and 20,000.
Okay.
We do the two valve T.
Okay. So a little bit of a chunk of money.
Yeah.
So,
it's
yeah.
10 to 20,000 for the one on Third and Otter Crest, or
for both of them.
Both.
For both of them, yeah. He'd do them both at the same time. So
yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we should, before we make the decision, we should give it a little bit of thought. So
Well, I'll leave that. The second item is, say, if you're building the water system or rebuilding it, in the next 12 to 18 months, then this would be a moot point. But the second one was to put in air relief valves along the main line on First and Third. But I'm sure those will be added into the new water system design.
I would hope so.
Everything will be new.
That'll be nice.
Except a few, except the meters, of course, and a new fire hydrant. We'll see about the other fire hydrants.
Say, thank you for reminding me about those meters. I heard during the last board meeting that there were two meters that are registering zero. Our office went through the numbers and actually came up with seven meters that are registering zero. I don't know if there's a rationale for why the board.
Well, I gave you guys a list of those meters that we expect to be zero.
Oh, okay.
So initially, when we first talked about all this, there were two meters that need to be looked at because we didn't expect them to be zero.
Yep. Can you resend me that list by chance? I would really appreciate it.
You can thank Beth for that.
Thank you, Beth. Well, excellent. So those were all my line items I wanted to cover, but if there's anything else you guys need from me, I'm happy to answer questions.
Yeah, I had a question on we received the latest invoice. Uh-huh. And I was surprised that we were billed for your bid estimate. I would have thought that was something that you do on a regular basis for free.
Terribly sorry. You should not have been billed for my bid estimate. That was my mistake. I go through and try and pull all those things out before the invoice goes out the door, and I must have missed it. Let me make a note, and we'll take that off your invoice or give you credit for the September one. That was my mistake.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. It was, what, 30 minutes, if that?
Yeah, I think you charged 3/4 an hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah, that was my bad.
Well, thanks for catching it, Rod, and thanks for fixing it, Curtis.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there anything else?
I think that's it, Curtis. Thanks for attending.
My pleasure. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Curtis. Thank
you. Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report.
Hey, let's see. I'll just read through this real quick. So the general checking account, the uncleared was $7,324.45. The QuickBook register balance is $54,171. For security, ending balance is $61,495.45, which is the sum of the uncleared and the QuickBook register balance. Total deposits, $14,078.44. Withdrawals, $6,268.72. Community centers unchanged, $422.79. Reserve funds, the LGIP deposits this month were $418.82, ending balance of $111,206.73. The system development fund deposits this month were $365.11. The register balance is $96,946.59. The AR balance, a negative $9,082. Current assets, $253,665.11. Accounts payables to approve, $15,300. And accounts payables to pay, $9,042.75. And that does not include an invoice that just came in from the law firm, which was dated 9:30. And I need to find it. I tried to get two screens and I couldn't get my other screen to work tonight. So hold on just a second for me.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Eileen. I usually have two laptops, but I couldn't find my second laptop. So I usually have one open to my emails. But
so the local government law group, it was $270, and that was to review the document and correspondence with Lisa about the options for the district in wanting to install hydrants outside the current operator agreement with Northwest Natural. So I don't know if we want to include that in this month's. We certainly could. It's $270. So it would just add a little bit to the 9,042. Or we can leave it till next month. I'm sure they don't, they understand. Yeah, because if, you know, if things don't come in when we need them.
I would just soon pay it now.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why not to.
Okay, then I will add that. So, so 93,1275, I think. I think I could add that. $93,1275 is what we'd be paying this month. And that is Northwest Natural's just their base fee. We got that invoice in, Rod, but it is not part of this. We'll get that posted and we'll pay it next month. That's kind of what we've been doing with them. So when they don't get it to us until this late in the month. And then the other one that's not on this report is the BRK invoice, and that's because we approved that and we got it paid already. So that's not included in these numbers either. And then, you know, Civil West, there's one invoice for Civil West, FEMA portion for $2,841, and that's included in this. And there's also $3,000 to the our accountant for the audit stuff this month. So, and that is my report.
Can I get sorry, guys, I have a cold. Can I get a motion to? Oh, you got questions, Kelly?
Kelly's got
just for the record, I didn't hear you say all accounts reconciled. So I just want to know.
Yes, all accounts are reconciled.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So can I get a motion to accept the treasurer's report and to pay the bills as stated by Eileen? $12.75.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to accept the report and pay the bills.
I second it.
Lisa? Yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the public budget hearing. I am hereby opening the budget hearing at 6:23 p.m. on October 14th, 2025. In this hearing, we're going to discuss budgetary considerations, supplemental budget, open for public comments, vote on supplemental budget resolution 2537.
We have to close the meeting after the public comments
moment.
And do the vote.
Not according to Beth. She's shaking her head no.
Beth, that's what you told me.
It's just the hearing, the public hearing you close before you take the vote.
Right.
Yeah, not the meeting.
Right, well, yes, public hearing portion of the meeting.
Doesn't have to be separate.
I posted the resolution on the website. I don't know if anybody has questions. You know, I kind of read back through it and was kind of questioning our logic now that we think we're going to be getting some funds from FEMA. But I think just as a safeguard, I think we should move forward with this. It's not that we're going to be spending any of it, but I think to have this available for us isn't a bad idea anyways. And really what this supplemental budget is doing is it's allowing us access to these unappropriated funds because it's moving it into a contingency account. And in order to use it in the contingency account, we can't pull it all out. It's got to be taken out, not in increments, but if we go over 15%, we have to have another supplemental budget. So it really is, it's just putting it somewhere else, these funds. But we're still very limited on access to them, which I think is part of the 15% contingency limit. And with all that being said, I was reading more about it today and had even more questions, but I think that doing this is appropriate right now. So
I would agree with you, Eileen, in talking to Tim at Civil West or during the review, FEMA can take up to 90 days to reimburse. So we have to have a pad.
Well, I just think even if we don't need it, at least we know it's there.
Accessible.
Yeah, it's accessible. Whereas right now, the way everything is written, it's not. So it just kind of allows us a little bit of wiggle room. So, and it also, the other thing it does is we were really hoping that we'd be able to put this 46,000 into one of those unappropriated funds. And after the work that we've had done, we've already gone through our contingency that we had. So I was really surprised this invoice from Northwest Natural wasn't more than what it was. Were you, Rod?
Yeah, it could have gone higher, definitely.
I really was. That was one of the reasons I was kind of panicking about this.
I was expecting 10K.
Yeah, I was expecting 10K or more. So anyways, but
they have to amend that now, right? Because Curtis's costs shouldn't be included.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can deduct that little bit, but
okay.
Yeah, it's $100.
Yeah.
Oh,
but, you know, considering that it's only October, we've got two valves that are broken. So anyways, all right. Well, that's my little spiel on the supplemental budget. And I think we just need to approve it. So,
well, we need to hear from the public.
Correct.
Public.
Do we have any public comments?
Oh.
There she is.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. Yeah, this is, I agree with that and just want to remind everybody that the transfer from the reserve account or the system development account, it's not really from the account, it's from the fund, makes that available to spend, and we actually have a large amount in the budget for there, so it may be really easy. You would just need to do a transfer resolution from the general fund contingency to the, say, the FEMA fund. And that makes it a real, real easy thing. And our expenditures are already, you know, what, $337,000. So we're likely not to have to do a supplemental budget for that.
Got it.
Unless we, well, this was one question we might need to clear this up with Jean at the Department of Revenue was, especially she said, oh yeah, you can just do that if you're just borrowing it temporarily. And I asked, well, what if it doesn't go back to that fund? And she said, well, then you probably need to do a supplemental budget. So, but that's just down the road.
I wonder what temporary means. I mean, what's the qualifier?
Within the fiscal year.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit of gray area as far as documenting everything. And that's right. Where I have some more questions for her. I'm really hoping that I can do another Zoom meeting with her. So, yeah.
And it also doesn't mean we actually have to pull the money out of the state accounts right now. Yeah. We're transferring them between funds. And funds are different than bank accounts. We could have all our money all in one account, but we keep track of it by the different funds. So
yeah, we can still be collecting interest.
Yeah. So we can just leave it there. We do an actual transfer between accounts if we needed to spend it.
Yeah.
But it's right now it's really doing it on paper between funds.
Yep, it's just sitting. The paper trail is basically saying we're going to take this amount, and we're going to put it in contingency, and from contingency, if we do want to transfer funds, we have to do a transfer in, a transfer out. So
that's just a resolution, and
right, and that's yes, exactly, and then that is done with the resolution.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm in favor of it as speaking from the public point of view.
So if there's no more questions, I'm going to close this public budget hearing at 6:31 p.m. And now we can, since it's closed, now we can vote on the supplemental budget resolution 2025-37. Can I get a motion?
A motion to approve it.
I'll second.
Lisa, yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is update on FEMA contract status and the reimbursements for the past year's work.
Just real quick, the resolution needs two signatures, so I'll just leave it at the office.
Yeah, I'll get over there and sign it.
Yeah. All right, great. Thanks, everyone.
Before we go there, my apologies. We have another resolution on the agenda this month.
Yeah, it's down. It's down before we close the meeting. That it's way down there. It's resolution. It's line item F.
It didn't make it to the The resolution for the hazard mitigation plan, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
That didn't make it onto the agenda that I posted because it came after I'd already posted it.
Oh, sorry.
We'll have to add it.
So do we have to wait to do that? Because I just think it's a forerunner to some extent, but that's fine. If we have to wait till the end of the meeting to add it, then I can bring it up then. But I think it's kind of a forerunner for us to just kind of get that done, seeing as it's a requirement for the FEMA loans.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
Is that all right?
Okay with me.
Yeah. So, Eileen, thank you very much for populating that resolution for me, for us. You all got a copy of it. It's basically saying that we, you know, approve the hazard mitigation plans that Beth and I developed over the last year and submitted into the Lincoln County Hazard Mitigation Plan. So I'm open for questions on that, but we're not really looking at the plan itself because we already looked at the plan. We already sent that out for public review and comment, and we're basically now at the point of just approving those plans and that resolution to do that.
But in approving those plans, don't we kind of have to start kind of assigning tasks to people about how we would enact this plan or who would be responsible for?
Well, if you look at the plan, it's really a lot of the big ones that we identified, you know, 1, 2, 3, I think the first four are all based on the construction project that we're already executing.
Okay.
So yes, all of that is required, gets reviewed every year, you know, any updates that we'll make to it, but we're on track to act on those plans that we submitted.
Yeah, I just think we should probably go over that plan as a board sometime in the future and get more concrete about kind of who is responsible for what pieces that aren't part of the
we can do that, but at this point we have to agree and approve on the plan in order to move forward with FEMA funding.
Yeah, and I'm not contesting that. I'm just saying in the future I would like us to look at the
plan. Yeah, we can definitely make an agenda item and go over that plan in detail again, Kelly, even just for an FYI to the community and to the board. And, you know, we can look at, you know, I mean, because some of this stuff is 10 years out in the future. It's not, you know, something we're going to do right now.
So I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2025-36, a resolution adopting the Otter Rock Water District representation in the updates to the Lincoln County Multi-Jurisdictional Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan.
I'll second that.
Lisa, yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa.
Yes. Great.
Motion passes.
Cool. All right. And I asked for, so moving on into the agenda, you know, how is it worded? Just so I worded correctly. Contract status, let me tell you where that's at. Little surprise to me. Was that a surprise to you, Lisa? I thought once FEMA signed it and once you signed it, we were good to go. But evidently, OEM's executives need to sign it too. So we're waiting for yet one more signature, but that's pretty much a rubber stamp because FEMA has signed the contract to grant us this money. So, yay, we have a signed FEMA contract, but it isn't fully executed until OEM executive management sign that, hopefully soon. it is a, you know, it definitely feels very real now. Of course, we all know that this initial FEMA money, it really is just covering design until we get this POP extension, you know, project extension from FEMA. Again, if you remember our discussion about that in the past, there's lots of sub-grants in our grant, so they're high confidence that FEMA will grant us the extension. They are actually asking for a 6-year extension, but the fallback would be a 1-year extension, which would still cover our project. So even if FEMA only grants the 1-year extension, we're looking good, but they're pretty confident again, because we're not the only grant that they're asking extension for. There's like 48 grants in this larger grant. And some of those grants, FEMA hadn't even done their due diligence on the grant. So they're kind of the delay for the grant, which kind of, you know, says, well, we don't have the grant approved because FEMA didn't do their part. So FEMA, are you going to give us an extension? I don't know if that all makes sense to you, but hopefully it does. So we're pretty confident that the POP extension will still come through, but, you know, and there's been some back and forth. It's been submitted. There's been some RFIs on that, request for more information. And so that has been happening. So, you know, we're waiting on that final. The great thing about where we're at right now is FEMA has granted us this design dollars. So even if that's a contract, regardless of where anything, whatever happens in the future, that money is granted to us unless the government just, you know, reneges on all these grants or whatever, just reneges in general. So, but it is said, yes, we're going to give you the money. So we do have money for our design. So that's a great thing. And what else do we want? Oh, and then, so now one of the discussion items that we've been having just in regards, so I wasn't here then because it's happened since 2021 that we have been paying Civil West for work that towards this grant from FEMA. So there's about $33,000 that we have already paid Civil West, and we are looking for reimbursement from FEMA for that money. We'd like to submit that reimbursement request just as soon as possible. The sooner we get it in, the sooner we get that money. But there's some concerns. So Lisa, I'll let you share what your concerns are.
Well, I don't know how to do the accounting for it. And so until I know how we're going to account for moving things from prior years into this new fund, I'm going to have to abstain because I don't feel comfortable with it. And I've been through audits, federal audits, and I can't. So until the CPA answers my question, I'm just going to have to abstain because I can't wrap my head around it.
So Lisa, are you more concerned about how it's going to be documented on our side? Or are you concerned about FEMA questioning?
No, I'm concerned about our side.
Okay. All right.
Because,
well,
because we have, you know, we've had audits and they've closed the audits. And when you close the audits, you only have a certain amount of time before you can, you know, make the changes for the prior year. And then, you know, then it has to get, you know, approved and all of that stuff again. And I don't know. I know we're a small district, and we probably have a lot of wiggle room, but I don't know where that is. And I'm not comfortable putting my name on something that I don't know how we're going to account for it in the accounting. I can't wrap my head around it.
Okay. Well, I think that if it's a question of how we're going to do our accounting on our side, Lisa will figure it out. And I understand that you feel that if there's a time limit because of audit requirements and things like that, I'm sure that we can get some advice either from our accountant, or we may even be able to get some advice from the Department of Revenue. I'm not sure where they fit into any of this as far as audits go, but
That's why I asked the CPA. So that's why I'm abstaining until I get that information, because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you haven't heard from him. Is that correct? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think he might be. Yeah. I'm not really sure. I haven't really heard a lot from him either, other than he requested some stuff for our yearly audit now. But anyways, I'm not terribly concerned about it. I think that we will be able to resolve where to post things and how things need to be accounted for. So I don't think it's that complicated, but anyways,
in my world it is. So that's why that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, we're a small district, so it could be totally different, but I don't know that. So I don't have a frame of reference.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, I don't know if we need to agree on this, but I'd like to move forward with this reimbursement for the 33K. I think if for nothing else, it's going to give us a good idea of how long it takes to get reimbursed from FEMA. and that'll bring us up current with what we spent so far, which will be really nice. So.
Well, yeah, I'm actually in agreement with you, Eileen. I think we should go ahead and make the request.
Yeah, and I'm not sure we're going to like bring it to the board every time we want to submit a reimbursement. So we should probably just have that dialogue. I mean, the way I asked Shannon, the OEM guy, about when we needed to submit reimbursements, if there was a time frame or something like that. And he said, no, we could submit reimbursement requests whenever we had paid invoices.
So are we going to go through Civil West to request these reimbursements?
Tim's going to do it. Yeah, Tim will do it.
Okay, same as Business Oregon.
Right.
Okay, all right.
Well, I still have questions about, was the documentation on the Civil West invoices very specific about what charges were FEMA-related charges?
Yeah.
I'm talking about invoices back in 2021. I wasn't here in 2021.
Yeah, he's got copies of all the invoices.
Yeah.
He's everything.
Yeah, the line items all say FEMA on them, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'd rather hear.
I can forward that to you.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Lisa. I'd rather hear from the CPA first, but, you know, I don't know if people feel like we can put this off until November,
That's the concern I have. Civil West is asking us to move forward. I don't see a reason not to move forward. And so I too want to move forward with the reimbursement request.
We're not asking for reimbursement for anything other than what we've already spent on FEMA. So if it's a matter of going, well, you can't get reimbursed for something that you spent money on in 2021. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, but that's not the case, because our FEMA contract gives us the right to back bill to 2020.
Yeah. So
I think the sooner we go ahead and apply for it, my fear is that it's going to go away.
It's nice to get, like, I'm with Eileen. It's be nice to see the ball rolling and how that ball is going to roll.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think we need to apply for the reimbursement.
So. Yeah.
Who's gonna
I guess at this point, do we go ahead and go for a vote, Lisa, to as to whether we make a motion to pay it and vote on it?
Yep, we need a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to request reimbursement for the funds we spent since 2021.
I'll second that.
Lisa?
All in favor? Oh, sorry.
I'm abstaining. Eileen?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Motion passes. I will send it off tomorrow.
Awesome. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Update on Civil West, progress on design and other considerations. Again, Teresa.
Yeah, so a two-hour meeting with Civil West last Friday. Rod was able to join me for that. It was a really, 30% design review. So there's not a lot of specifics. I'm going to go through a few of the highlights with you all. I sent you in detail a copy of the design parameters. And I also sent you an update on timeline. Let me just go to the timeline first, because I'm sure everyone's interested in that. I can find it. Hold on a second.
When did you send that, Teresa?
Just during the meeting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just got the design parameters, and then I thought, oh, I don't think you guys had seen the timeline yet. So we did the 30% design review on October 10th. The tank project portion is delayed on design, not really delayed, but it's being shelved until we can do the geotech groundwork and see where the ground is on that. We are going from the two tanks to one tank. The tank that we'll be going to is going to be a steel round tank, glass lined, you know, no joints, you know, it's got to be seismic solid. So it's kind of exciting for that. It has a smaller footprint. It would be just, if you're facing our tank from the road, the new tank will be just to the right of the current tank, provided the ground will handle it. So that's the thing that they're doing right now, is going out and getting that geotech survey core on that ground, so we can see where there's at. If for some reason our ground can't sustain us, potentially we can go across the street, across Autocrest Loop, because that portion of land currently straight across from us is owned by ODOT. And Tim's confident that ODOT would give us an easement and drill there for a potential tank setting. So we don't have a lot of detail on tank design, other than what we're going to construct and the fact that it's going to be one, et cetera, et cetera. You may or may not know, we are not putting pumps on our water lines. The only pump we'll have in the system is going from the springs to the tank. So our water system will still be gravity fed. So that's kind of that detail on the tanks. Let's see, that subgrade stabilization. I've sent you a list of the design goals. They're, a lot of them are, of course, built around code. So initially, like the first one is fire protection. Our water system, when it was put in place, was designed to deliver water to residents, not to deliver fire safety capability. So you'll be probably surprised to hear the goal is hydrant placement. Is there's a every property in the district has to be within 250 feet of a hydrant, and that makes like a kind of a circumference of, you know, the hydrants here, 250 that way, 250 that way, so the circles are like 500 foot circles. Because of roads and et cetera, we will go from, I think we have what, 12, 13 hydrants in the system?
12 now.
12, yeah, because the one that's not functional. So 12 hydrants in the district right now, we will go to 27. So that's a great thing. I mean, you know, and the other thing about the requirement for fire flow is that even with a hydrant open, we have to have at least 20 PSI. That's kind of funny. It's like with everything shut up, we have 20 PSI doors of our homes, if that, right? So the goal for PSI is 40 to 60 PSI in general. Different residents will have higher or lower, but that's the goal. But the requirement is with a fire hydrant fully open, flowing full force, we still have 20 PSI at every location. So that's kind of exciting for those of us that are dealing with low pressure.
Yeah,
Yes,
I
Kelly.
have a question about how if we're not going to have a pump from the tank and it's gravity fed, which is the same as it is right now, how are we going to get to 40 or 50 PSI?
Tank's going to be taller. That makes the difference.
In addition, the lines are going to be bigger too, I believe.
Yeah, lines are going to be bigger, tank's going to be taller. Which was the very next line item, Kelly. Thanks for the segue. Chlorine residual, that's a big deal, especially the bigger lines can hold water for longer, and then you can get chlorine buildup. So all of that has to be taken into account. One of the things they want to do to try and mitigate water sitting in the lines, yeah, it's the so the actual it's 0.2 is chlorine concentration. That's the legal requirement, no higher than that, right? So one of the things, there's two areas in our system that if we can build a loop, so we'd need some easements to do that, then we would mitigate that risk of chlorine buildup. So we'll be talking about that in the future, but not quite there yet. Another thing that they're putting in the design parameter is interconnection. Facilitating interconnection with our local park water districts so that if they go down or we go down, we can support each other. So that's being a consideration. It's not a huge thing that we have to do to facilitate that, but it's in the parameters. Of course, replacing all the water lines, another thing that the public's going to be thrilled to hear is we will be placing the water lines in the roads. So that is going to eliminate the need to tear up anybody's landscaping that have encroached on the easement. So I'm thinking people will be really happy to hear that. What they won't be too, what might put them a little on edge is that some of these homes are really old homes. And when we start, and they're used to getting 20 PSI, and when we start pushing 40 PSI, who knows what could happen on their side of the fence? So, we'll have to do a lot of communication on that. It is their responsibility. We won't be responsible or be liable for repairing any of their issues once we do this. So we're going to try and do a lot of communication up front. Definitely when we start switching over, people will need to be, hey, if you're here occasionally, you need to be here. In case something happens in your home, you need to be looking under your house like you were doing, Kelly, and checking things that aren't, that you may be concerned about. So that's kind of the hey, we're not going to tear up your trees, but hey, you might want to be prepared in case your line doesn't take this too well, right?
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
yeah, I know it's people's responsibility, but I mean, we have a lot of speaking as one, elderly folks, and not all elderly folks are spry and capable, and I know then that it's their responsibility to hire somebody who is, but I do think we need to be sensitive
That's
to.
why I want to get that communication out as soon as possible so they can, see, if there's something we can do, great. Maybe we ask for a team of volunteers to help some people, or whatever in the community, right? But we just need to be really get that message out there as early as possible. So speaking along those lines, I know I've talked about it before. I really think it's close to time to not quite yet. We want to wait till we get the POP extension, and so we have a clear picture of what's what our timeline is and what's coming before we open up for a public forum. But we talked about having a community communications team that Beth has volunteered to lead. So I'm sure there's a process here in terms of forming the team and voting someone in. So I'm just going to put it out there now that I think it's time to us to start thinking about that and taking action on that. And that maybe it'd be an agenda item for next month to actually vote, or I could make a motion now that we form a project communications team. That of course wouldn't include, you know, that wouldn't be the board. It would be community led.
Teresa, you also
a board person to, you know, feed the information, which I'm happy to do.
Teresa, you also mentioned that that Civil West was happy to come out and talk with us, the community. So maybe this is something that we should kind of segue at that time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel like. I feel like I don't want to really do widespread notification to the community until we know what's happening with that POP extension. Because if we don't get that POP extension, we're not constructing because we don't have the funds to construct. We would get design done, but we wouldn't be constructing. So I would hate to get the whole community all up to speed and then say, oh, we're not going to do anything. So I'd like to wait till then. But then, yes, Civil West has agreed to come and do an open house for us. They've also agreed to come to the board. You know, if anyone has, if we want to have just an agenda item where they just come and talk about their design parameters or whatever, we can do that next month or the month after. The next design review, let me look at it real quick. 60% design review is November, mid-November. So, you know, we could maybe get them to project a little sooner when they'd like to do that design review so I don't have like 5 days notice.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Kelly.
Could we all just sit in on a design review? Do like a
Zoom? We'd have to ask them to do it off hours, right?
Okay. Yeah.
But yes, of course, if we had enough time, then everyone's invited to that design review.
Right.
And that's a segue as well.
So my question was, at a previous board meeting, we talked about somebody from Highland being in on the design review as well, because Curtis was saying that sometimes in the past, Civil West has added things that weren't necessarily essential that they could kind of help us spot.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, Kelly, we did. And that, thank you again. You're just segue queen today. Because one of the agenda items that I put on was I'd actually like to, of course, if Highland did that, there'd be a fee, right? So, you know, I know we're all in agreement that we want an operational review on that design. 30%, I wasn't too worried because, right, you know, they don't even have the tank. They don't have the chlorine system in place or anything like that. There's a lot of things that aren't even in place, so it wouldn't have been a big value to have Highland or Northwest Natural at the 30% design review. 60, maybe 90 for sure, right? And there is, of course, we will have operational designs that come out that show how they will support the system, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, but the other thing I would like to put out there, and before I go to that next agenda item, does anyone have any other questions about the 30% design review?
I might after I read the whole thing that you sent, but I can address that at a next board meeting.
Okay.
I guess my only question, Teresa, is with the 30% design review, is this is all FEMA and Business Oregon related. There's no discussion right now as far as, okay, if we don't get the FEMA funds, what can we do?
Right. Yeah, this is all. And I got a printout.
No, that's okay.
Which is what I like about this printout is the lines are marked specifically, like all the main lines are marked with this signifier of A classification, and all the secondaries are classified with B. So it's really, really easy, Eileen, for FEMA to separate those costs.
Okay.
So I was really thrilled with, hey, these costs can be easily separated as we go through design and even as we go through construction. So I was very happy with seeing that.
Okay.
So could you copy and post that in the...
Yeah, I was going to put it in the office. No. I had some questions for Beth before I did that, so I haven't put it in the office yet.
But it might be cool to have some stuff on the wall that...
Yeah, you know, again, Kelly, I don't want to get people excited until we know what's happening with that pop extension.
No, I'm talking about in the office.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to do it, and then I thought, oh, I got to talk to Beth about this stuff first. So I went over there today. Yes, I agree. All right, so that's FEMA. So do I need to make a motion to create a communications team for the rebuild project? I'm making a motion to create a communications team for the rebuild project.
I second that motion.
Lisa, I wouldn't want it to be more than five members. I'm going to, you know, Beth, you know, we've already talked about that. I think there, I want the community member to be the lead, and I would be the board liaison.
Makes total sense.
Lisa, yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yep.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yay, yes.
Motion passes.
Great. I have to keep looking at the agenda. Isn't that weird? Oh, I know. So, about consulting fees. There's a couple people that I would like us to consider. We haven't budgeted for this or anything like that, but I would like to consider asking a couple people to review this design that I know one would be absolutely willing. And then one that I'm pretty sure would be willing. You know, what do I know? I'd like some expert advice that's not Civil West, right? And of course, operations, Kelly, and that would be yet maybe a third, but our previous operations manager, why can't I think of his name off the top of my head, Rod?
Tim Osborne.
Tim Osborne is...
Jim.
Jim Osborne is very willing to come and review those designs for us. And he didn't ask for any money, but I just feel, I mean, the guy lives in Grants Pass now. So I thought it would be appropriate to, you know, $100 an hour or whatever to pay both him and the other gentleman. I would like us to consider reviewing that design is Adam Denlinger. I have a very good relationship with Adam. He runs Seal Rock Water District. They've done their own project, you know, upgrades and stuff like that. And I know that he would give us good advice in terms of, you know, what's being put into place. So those two people, I would like to extend a request for their review. Not at 30%. It is way too, you know, there's not enough data for them to really... Jim already gave us some feedback, and one of the feedback was the lines in the middle of the road. So I was thrilled when I proposed that to Civil West and they said they were doing it. So, but I would like to be able to approach them and say we'd be willing to pay them $100 an hour to review our designs.
So do we need to make a motion for that, or how would that move forward?
We have to be aware if they go above a certain amount, we have to take it out for bids, guys. So we have a procurement policy. And we have to be very careful. So we might want to think about capping it and you know. What did you say?
Do we know what that was? I mean, last time we, because we did this again when we did the hydrants, right? And I think it was 25K before we had to go out for bids. I'm pretty sure we won't go over that.
Well, I'm just putting it out there, guys,
No. But
that
it's
we
25K. We just did that with the hydrants.
well, correct, but I we need we should put a cap on it.
Yeah,
Like,
I'm fine
if
with putting a cap on it.
okay.
I honestly, I wouldn't expect either one of them to spend more than 5 hours on it. So the cap would be a grand.
Okay. That's all I want. That's all I,
Sure.
yeah.
Like if you're going to cap it, you'd cap it at 2 grand to give you some leeway.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
And when would this, would it be at
I would
60%?
wait after
Would it?
60%. So after we did the 60% with Civil West, then I would ask them to review that for us so that we would have feedback before they got to 90%.
So I would want Curtis to be involved in that as well.
Yeah, I agree, Kelly. Curtis is also one. So it'd be the three. It would be Jim, it would be
Adam.
Northwest Natural. I don't know if it would be Curtis. I'm not sure because even though this project manager has yet to get back to me, I'd rather have someone who's in the construction phase than the operations phase per se, but because from Northwest Natural, because they would also be keeping operations in mind, right? And then Adam Denlinger. So those three would be the people that I would be seeking review from.
So I
Can
don't
we
think
get?
that the 2 grand should, I think the 2 grand should just cover Jim and Adam Dillinger. I think that Northwest comes out of our regular account that we deal with them on a monthly basis.
I agree.
Okay. And again, it would be after 60% design, so after November. But before the 90.
So if it's after 60% design and any one of these gentlemen and have concerns, and how would those concerns, I mean, I would want to know what those are. So would we
Well,
have
yeah,
to
I
have
mean, we would, of course, I'd be as transparent as I can with the board without taking copious notes because I'm not really great at that. But anything, we'd have that direct dialogue with Civil West. I mean, I would want Civil West to sit down with these people in our presence and go over the design with them.
Because I mean, I would want to be cognizant of whatever was being.
What any meetings that I, if the board's interested, any meetings that I'm going to have with Civil West, I will make sure you're all aware of that timing. I don't set those timings, Civil West does. So it's kind of like if you're available, then you can attend. I'm prioritizing the water board stuff, so I put other things off so I can do the Civil West meetings.
I, what my question was if any of those three people had issues, then would we go back and have to have Civil West redesign some things?
Absolutely. That's why we're doing it at 60% and not 90.
Okay.
I mean, otherwise, why get their input?
No, right. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. I plan on being completely transparent. I've been transparent with Civil West from the get-go. That's why I told them I wasn't, really excited about giving them the whole scope of work, and we carved some of that scope of work out. We might end up going back to them, but I'm very transparent with them. I would be telling them we are going to have these people review this design. And, unless you can convince them, if they make a suggestion of a change that needs to be made, and unless you can convince them with logic and reason as to why that change shouldn't be made, then we would expect them to make those changes.
Well, I make a motion that we go ahead and move forward with this, having them come on board at 60% with the $2,000 cap.
I second that.
Lisa? Yes. Eileen?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Rod?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next.
Man, I'm going to have a lot of notes to write up.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm teasing. We're just lying.
I skipped an agenda item, though, Lisa. Sorry.
I know you did.
Okay, good.
All right, take command, Captain.
We need to talk about Northwest Natural fees for the 2026.
Oh, no.
And you know, if we're going to finally, you know, disengage or, you know, what we're doing.
Well,
I would like to make a motion that we table this. I'm just looking at it now. It's 7:15. I'm getting tired. And I think we've got a little bit of time. I'd really like to take a look at this before we discuss it.
I second that motion, Eileen, because I've really been doing a lot of other things and haven't looked at that myself in any detail.
Yeah.
So my question then is, do we want to have one more meeting this month, or are we going to put this off till the board meeting in November? Will that give us enough time to talk about
it? I think we can put it off till the next board meeting.
Which, but to remind you, I'm not here. So Kelly's running it and Beth is doing the Zoom. Okay. Unless you guys want to change the date.
Nope.
There you go.
We'll give you a break, Lisa.
So Lisa, though, since you're not going to be here, make sure that you give some board member a written list of your thoughts or concerns so that we can bring those up.
Oh, yeah. Or just send it to us all in email.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, send it to everybody in an email. All right.
And I will be looking at emails. I'm just, you know, she goes to bed, so, you know, I can't run, you know, meetings late. So that's it. If you want to have it in the afternoon, that would be fine. But, you know. Next on the agenda is to thank you to the community members who participated in the community center cleanup. We are very, 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 very grateful. So thank you.
Ditto. Yes.
I had an email, but unfortunately I can't look at both. But it was, you know, I asked Beth for some names because I wanted to publicly, you know, thank people. So Gracie was there, Joni and Craig were there, Terry Anderson was there, Delano was there, Beth was there, Francis and I were there, and then three gentlemen that, Beth, can you help me out with this?
Don Chapin was there,
right.
And Dan Gleason, and
and there was another,
Mike and Stan were there.
Mm-hmm. Nice group.
It was great. I think we got them all. Yeah, you said Delano.
I think so. And if we did not,
very
publicly, very much.
Yeah,
we got a lot done, and it was just a fun thing. And I can't remember if it rained on us, but I think we were okay. I don't think it rained on
just
us.
It was spitting on us a little for a while, but that's it.
Looks great.
Oh. Yes, thank you, community. Appreciate it.
Next on the agenda is the other correspondence, emails regarding timing of the hydrant repair notice, community members requesting use of the ORD Water District Wi-Fi as guests. We did have an email from a community member who has a short-term rental about the hydrant notice. We emailed back and forth for several days, and eventually I apologized for the short notice. We didn't have much notice, so I think she's happy. I haven't heard from her again. So I think that issue is settled. And then Eileen was nice enough to talk with Spectrum about a Wi-Fi. And Eileen, do you want to?
It's basically a monthly charge, and they'd have to come out and install something. So it's an added fee to have this. I'm sorry, I don't
know.
The router needs to
guest
split.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, because you can't, because if you, Terry's looking at me funny. If you use the Wi-Fi, you have access to our QuickBooks and our computers and everything else. So it could potentially be hijacked. So we need a router to split it off. And we just decided that it was a monthly charge that we did not want to afford.
Yeah. One of the ghost one.
Yeah. Do you if you have hotspot, you know, hotspot on your phone, and then you can get internet. It's pretty straightforward. So
I have a Wi-Fi network at my home, and I also have a guest account, which is password protected and WPA security. Why is it that your network cannot do that?
Well, I think that we can do that. I think that what we want to install, though, is not just a password protected account. It's a little bit more than that. Can somebody refresh my memory on the term?
Yeah, I don't really. So I didn't talk to Spectrum, so I don't really know what their requirements are for our service. I hear what you're saying, Terry, because that was my thought as well. But Eileen talked to Spectrum, and they told her that this is what it would, you know, this is what we would require, and we would have an additional monthly fee that as a board, we decided we did not want to pay an additional fee in order to provide a guest network.
But there was a term
I
for
what the term was.
I know it. I can't remember what it is either, but it was more than just a guest network. It was like a dedicated.
Yeah, go ahead. It has to be isolated from the primary network.
Right.
It might be due to that isolation. I don't know enough about networking to tell you, you know, whether that's doable or not, or what those concerns are. And again, I didn't talk to Spectrum.
Yeah. Beth, go ahead, Beth.
You do have to have a router that's capable of that. I believe the one we have is, but it would take a firmware update. I kind of looked into it a little bit because I wrote down the type of router that we do have. But I don't know, we don't own that router. So I don't know if it would be okay for us to do a firmware update on that router because it's Spectrum's routing.
You should be doing firmware updates all the time, automatically.
Right. Well, with that setup, but yeah, it's a special firmware update for that router is what I got in my research. Yeah, I don't know, but you know, Eileen mentioned hotspots on your phone. Why don't people just create a hotspot? They could even share it with multiple people.
Yeah, we've tried that, and it doesn't work as well as we'd like.
Don't have the bandwidth.
People have Verizon, AT&T, Consumer Cellular, and all their ability to log onto the network is. So oftentimes when we don't have great access, one or two bars maybe. Anyway, I think it could be done, but I certainly wouldn't want the district to have to incur a fee for anything. Normally, software is available on your router that allows you to do a guest network that is separate and And if that could be done, then I suggest that it would be a good thing to do, because you'd only be serving the needs of the people that were there in the building at that time. Once
oh,
they
yeah,
leave.
Don't get us wrong, Terry. We think it would be a great service to the people that are using the community center. But, you know, according to what we understand, there'd be an additional fee to provide that.
Yeah, it's a $10 a month monthly fee. For a separate, it requires a carved out guest network. We'd require a tech to install a service on our router, and there's a $10 monthly fee.
Yeah, thank you. I just found the email as well. So yeah, the term that I was given was a carved out guest network. And so when I called Spectrum, they basically said that it would require a tech to come out and there would be a $10 monthly fee involved. And I didn't pursue it any farther than that. I said, okay, thank you. And that was the end of my conversation. So
if I can come up with a proposal that doesn't cost anything to the district and is cognizant and aware of all the security that's needed, could I present that to you at the next meeting?
Well, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Because I have Spectrum too, and they don't charge me anything for my guest network.
Yeah, but we're a business, Terry. So
true.
It's.
I was just kind of going by what was recommended.
We'd have to get Spectrum to approve it.
Sure, because absolutely.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I look forward to your presentation, Terry.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, basically, Terry, when I threw out this carved out guest network, that is the description I was given. So, I mean, you might want to just throw that at them and see if there's a difference between that and what you have. So it may be that they gave me information that wasn't really accurate. Yeah. There again, I didn't spend a lot of time on it. I just made the call. So, and when they told me that there was an added $10 monthly fee, I just kind of left it at that. So, yeah, see what you can find out.
Okay. And by the way, the monthly the Monday music group thanks the board for letting us use the community center. We have a good time. If any of you can sing, please join us.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Maybe someday you will give us a little concert, eh?
Okay, sure.
That would be fun.
Next on the agenda, special order of business. I don't think we have any ordinances, none resolutions. We've already done that. And next is public comments. Does anyone have any public comments? Any more public comments? Seeing none, Beth? Okay, just making sure. Okay, board member comments.
None.
Well, I just want to thank everybody again. It's been a wild month. You know, I appreciate everybody's efforts for all your different areas of expertise. For, you know, the FEMA and the Civil West and the budgetary considerations and working with VRX and Highland to, you know, get these fire hydrants in. And so every single board member and our esteemed past board member who still consults with us when needed, Beth, you know, you've all done a lot of extra work in the last month or so, and I just really appreciate it.
And Kelly, please don't cut yourself short on that. I mean, I so appreciate the great job you do with the minutes and all the details and, you know, just how you kind of like keep track of things, like when you ask Eileen today if we were all reconciled. I'm like, boy, I'm glad she pays attention to those items.
No, Beth's not here, so I gotta try and.
I
Oh,
love
she's here.
it.
It's not a board member anymore, so I gotta try and remember some of these
Well, you
little.
do a great job, and I really appreciate through all that you've been going through between health and remodel, et cetera, your diligence.
Well, thank you. We're good. We're all good. So, all right.
I want to thank the community for their patience with the fire hydrants.
Yeah, no kidding.
I really do. We had 14 people at that meeting, but no one was angry. No one shouted. It was really nice, and I just want to thank the community for their patience and their continued patience while we do this. And don't be surprised. Didn't the fire hydrants wrap up on that Wednesday? So we might have some more charges on Civil West because this bill was only through 9:30. So
Oh, from
just
Northwest.
FYI, yeah, Northwest, yeah. So just FYI, there's probably more coming down the pike, but
Yeah, that's true.
there is more coming down the pike, and that is why it didn't show up on this
Yep.
path.
So those are all my comments, but I really love this community, and I thank you for and all the board members for all that work that we were dealing with. So thank you.
Yeah.
And if no one has any more comments, I'm going to stop recording and we're going to leave it. Oh, next board member meeting is November 11th at 6 p.m.
So you're stopping at 7:28?
7:28.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.